This is the Sports Psychology Hour with Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
I cannot express the gratitude what my son came and visited you.
Dr. Jacobs has been in practice for 40 years as a sports psychologist.
I have seen a change in youth sports in the last 10, 15 years. I've talked about it a lot on this show.
The Sports Psychology Hour. The best advice on the radio each and every week.
Failure and losing and screwing up is something that happens in life. It happens in sports. And I think we have to teach kids how to do that more effectively.
This is where sports talk gets real.
That word playing, it's gone from our society in a lot of ways with kids.
And now here's your host, Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Welcome to our show, the Sports Psychology Hour, from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm here every week. Our shows are podcasted throughout the world and replayed throughout the country as we talk about the mental side of sports. And I love doing this show with you each week because we delve into different topics that affect us as athletes, as coaches, as spectators. I've been in practice for 40 years, been here at radio for 30 years, the last 20 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I'm very privileged to do this show because this show's about you. It's about helping you get through things, deal with things. And today we're going to have a really interesting show. We're basically going to have two shows in one. We are going to start with a youth baseball coach who's going to join us here in a moment, who emailed me the other day, and then we spoke on the phone, and he agreed to come on the show because he's got some issues with some parents and winning and losing. We're going to talk to him in a moment. And then the second part of the show, we have a young lady who is a state champion gymnast who has retired from gymnastics because she got burned out on it. And I thought it'd be interesting to have her on as well. So we're going to start off with our youth baseball coach. Let's get Tom on the line. Tom, good morning. How are you? Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, we can hear you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Listen, thanks for coming on. So you emailed me the other day and mentioned you're having some problems with your team. So why don't you share with everybody what those issues are, and then we'll talk about what we discussed.
Well, we decided to play up a level this year. We're a 15U team. We brought on one 16U boy. He's a brother. One of the boys on my team. All of our boys except for three played high school ball. So when their season was over, we just started right off after high school. I knew the competition was going to be tough, but I actually thought maybe we'd win a game or two. But we have started out 0-9. I have a parent that from the beginning of the season would walk around and talk about how we made a mistake by playing up, that we didn't belong in playing up to this competition. And we had a tournament last weekend that we lost all three games. At the end of the tournament, she finally found a buddy to go along with her. And when the last game was over, we was walking out, and both of them came up to me and proceeded to tell me everything that we were doing wrong and we should have never played up to the competition.
All right, so you emailed me, Tom, and we spoke on the phone the other day, and you agreed to come on the show. So we discussed the fact that, I'm going to share a couple things we talked about. First, you know, because you went straight from high school into club ball, it was sort of a wham-bam thing, and you didn't have time to really have a team meeting, which I mentioned to you. You said you sent out an email, but you really didn't have a team meeting. So from where I was coming from, probably that was one of the first things you probably should have done.
Right? Exactly. I realize that now, yes.
Because why? Share with me. Because, and listen, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on, because if there are hundreds of other people like this out there who have this problem, there are probably thousands who coach. So tell everybody why we talked about the importance of the preseason meeting, talking about your rules, guidelines, communication, all that.
Well, you know, it would have been a smart idea to be up front and let them know exactly why I was doing it. and that it would be rough. That the competition was higher, but I should explain to them why it would have been good for these boys. My thought was, they're facing this kind of competition, excuse me, in high school, that this would help them, especially against pitching. You know, how pitching gets better and better. You know, as they get older, the pitching is what really gets so much better. So I thought it would be good for them to face this faster, better pitching, and I should explain that before the season started.
All right, let me interject something here, Tom. Why do you coach? Why are you doing this?
Oh, well, number one.
Excuse me, because this is a lot of misery you brought upon yourself here.
Right, right. Well, because there's a lot of good to go with that. I've seen the boys. I've got several boys I've had for years, and I've seen them get better. And they have so much fun together. They have more fun, of course, when we're winning. But it is so much fun, so much enjoyment to be around them when they're improving and having fun together.
Okay, so you've been doing this for a while. You've coached several of these kids for a while, and you enjoy the growth and learning aspect of coaching baseball.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
And just let them have fun together, yes.
Okay, so let me ask this question. Even though you haven't won a game, are these kids having some fun?
They are, and I spoke to them, and I put it out there. I said, we joined a league. We're going to finish this league. But I said, boys, do you still want to keep playing tournaments? Do you just want to play the league and get out of here and call it quits? Or do you want to keep playing tournaments? And every one of them said, let's keep playing. So that kind of just made my day there, you know. So I said, that's what I like to hear.
Well, I want to tell you a couple things, first of all, Tom. First of all, you've got some guts by coming on the radio and sharing this. Second, I want to congratulate you for doing what you're doing, because you are teaching these kids a lesson that's going to help them as they get older in life. Forget baseball, just life. After we go to our commercial break, we come back in our second segment, we're going to talk about this mom who is bad-mouthing you and now has a buddy, and how you're going to deal with that, because we're going to discuss some ways, because I can guarantee you if there's one coach out there that's got that problem, there are dozens and dozens of them that have it. Parents, and I've saw it when my kids played. I've heard about it for years. There are always parents that don't like what's going on. They like to badmouth the coach behind his or her back instead of dealing with it directly. So we're going to deal with that. So, you know, I mentioned the other day the book that I co-wrote with Jeff Montgomery and Pete Malone, Just Let Them Play, Guiding Parents, Coaches, and Athletes Through Youth Sports. Our third chapter is called Embracing Failure Can Lead to Fun. What's your opinion on that, Tom?
Well, you brought that up. You asked me if I had I agree with it completely, by the way. But you brought that up, and it had been a while since I had read it. It had been four or five years ago. And I didn't remember it at first, but when I picked it up, I knew immediately that I had read it. And that's how I coach. That's I don't yell. You know, I pull them aside if they've done anything wrong. That's how I base my coaching from your book. So that helped me out a lot when I was first starting out.
Well, thank you for getting the book, first of all, and reading it.
Yeah.
And that chapter, I think, really is something that, you know, I'd implore all the parents on your team to read it right now. Because this, you know, everybody wants to win and succeed. Nobody likes to lose. But it's part of what we do. I don't care who you are. Very rarely does anyone go through a season without some kind of a problem. And failure is part of it, right? I mean, baseball is all about failure. I mean, I've been the Royals, Kansas City Royals team psychologist two different times. I've worked with Hall of Fame players. I've worked with great players. Failure is part of it. So you have to learn to deal with it. All right. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Joining me this morning is a baseball coach named Tom, who has some issues with his team. We're talking about it now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about dealing with parents, because he's got a couple moms now on the team that are saying some things behind his back that aren't good. So we're going to talk about how to deal with that, because I guarantee you there are a bunch of people out there who've had the same problem. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 10 WHB. This is the Sports Psychology Hour. Hello again, everyone. I am sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. And joining me this morning is a baseball coach named Tom, who emailed me last week regarding some issues with his team, and he agreed to come on the show and talk about what's going on. So Tom, let's talk about these parents now. We mentioned, and I want to preface this by saying, you know, I emphasized everybody have a preseason meeting, talk about rules, talk about, you know, schedules, but talk about talking and discuss issues, winning and losing, how to handle success and failure, what to say to your kids about having fun, all those types of things. And you mentioned, you know, for a variety of reasons that you didn't have that meeting when the season started. Now you've got one mom who's been upset that the team is playing up a level, and another mom's joined her. So what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about it?
Well, I plan on having a talk with them and asking them if they have issues.
Excuse me, with these two women themselves or with the whole team?
The whole team.
Okay.
The whole team. And I'm just going to ask them, you know, if you have anything that you need to talk to me about, please let's do it on a one-to-one basis. Because when they talked to me after the last game, it was in front of some of the boys. Matter of fact, one of the parents' boy was just standing right next to her, and I could tell he was squirming. He didn't like it.
What'd she say to you?
Just that, you know, we should have had more practice. You know, that we shouldn't be playing up against this competition because we're not ready for it. You know, that type of thing, you know.
Well, she's entitled to her opinion, but there's a way to do that and a way not to do that, correct?
Yeah, right, right.
So what'd you say? What'd you say to her when she brought that up?
Well, I agreed that, you know, that we should have brought in some more, had some more practice, but also explained to her that right after the high school season was over, we had an 8-day rain period. And we are not a club team. We're an individual team. And these club teams and leagues have all the practice fields locked up in our area. It's hard to find a practice field. So I explained to him those two things right there, that there wasn't much time. I decided to go ahead and play a couple tournaments quickly before it started getting really hot. I thought that they could, you know, most of these boys have been either playing or practicing 5 days a week. 10 out of the 13 of my boys were high school boys. So I explained to them that they've been practicing, and I was just going to, you know, we were just going to go right into playing. And we had one practice, and I explained to her that, and that we're on a break now, and we have practices scheduled. We have indoor training with a pro trainer here locally that, you know, that, now it's time. We're going to get some practice time in. We got some games in. Now we're going to practice a little bit, and we're going to go back and finish the rest of our season. And I explained that to her, and it seemed at the last game she was more pleasant about things. So
how'd she react when you told her that face to face?
Well, she said that she was going to find some practice fields for us, and the ones that they suggested was in very good shape. So I ended up finding a couple practice fields for us. So we have practice this afternoon, as a matter of fact.
So how was she at the last game after you talked to her?
She seemed fine at the last game. Almost apologetic, as a matter of fact.
Well, okay, so what you did was great, okay? Because what you did was you confronted her in a positive way, and you didn't insult her, you didn't degrade her, you didn't cut her down. You just
a deep breath, but yeah.
You wanted to, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of fire back because it was right after the game. It was hot. We had just lost three games. It's very tough for me to watch my boys lose. But yeah, I wanted to confront her, but no, I did not. I just spoke to her and I told her honestly. You know, what I did and why I did it.
Okay, we also talked about bringing some Tootsie Pops to a game.
Yes, yes.
So tell everybody about that, because, you know, I've talked about that for a long time. I think coaches should bring a bag of lollipops, Tootsie Pops, and tell the parents to suck on this during the game. Okay? Because why? You and you did it, right?
Yes.
Did it work?
You know, I don't know if they got the symmetry of it or not. You know, I got a couple looks from, you know, like, you know, why, but and I didn't really explain why. I just, you know, I brought gum for the kids, and I brought those and handed them out, and everybody, you know, and I got on with the game, so I didn't really, you know, talk to them much about it or anything like that.
Some of them, you mentioned some of the parents gave you some looks, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, just in an inquisitive way.
Like, what's this dude doing, man? Why is he telling us to do this? Okay.
Yeah.
But do you think it worked? Did it help?
It may have. Yeah, it may have.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. So the whole purpose of coaching with what you're doing, which if there is one person listening to this podcast or ready to replay, there are thousands who will listen to this who've got this issue. Why do you coach, Tom?
It's the boys. It's just, you know, it's fun being around them and, you know, going through some things I did when I was their age. Watching them grow, watching them have fun.
You know, I say a good coach is a good psychologist. A bad coach needs a sports psychologist. You obviously are a good coach, and you've done.
Well,
I want to commend you, first of all, for getting a hold of me, and second, for agreeing to come on the show today and share this story. Because, like I said, there are a lot of other people that have the same issue, and you've addressed it. And I think the key thing from now on, pertaining to communication with everybody, is what do you think you're going to need to do just in case something else comes up?
Well, it's communication. It's there's letting the parents know ahead of time, you know, what's coming up, why we're doing things that we do. That was a mistake on my part at the beginning of the season. Normally we start in January, or February was training. This is our first year of post-high school ball. So,
do you have any regrets about moving up like you did?
You know, right now I do. Just because I haven't gave them a win yet, and they have more fun when they win. But, you know, if this helps them next high school season, then it was all for the good.
Well, I think what you've done is commendable. I think the fact that you care about these kids like you do says a lot about you as a person. And the fact that you had the guts to get on the radio and share this story even says more about you, because a lot of people won't call this show up because, I'm not going to go on there and talk about it. I don't want to let people know what's going on. But you've done it. And I guarantee you there are people who are going to listen to the replays of this show and the podcast of this show that will relate to this, Tom. So first of all, congratulations on what you're doing. It's all about growth and development, having fun, and you've mentioned that several times. Keep doing that. Keep focusing on that.
Okay.
And you know what? You guys will end up, I'll bet you guys get some wins in. And the most important thing is if these kids are going to learn something about themselves and have fun and grow, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I sure hope so.
All right, sir. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate it. Stay well. And good luck, and just tell those kids to keep getting better and have fun, and I think some good things will happen for you.
Well, thanks for all your help, Dr. Jacobs. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Okay, take care of yourself. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour. That was a great interview, and we're going to have another great interview coming up. A young lady named Jocelyn, who's a gymnast, is sitting right across from me. We're going to talk about why she entered gymnastics and why she quit. We're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. That was a fascinating interview with Tom, the baseball coach, and I really appreciate him coming on because, you know, what we talked about with him, having fun, dealing with losing, and dealing with parents, I can almost assure you all of us have had to deal with at some point in our sports career, especially if you're a youth sports coach or parent. These issues go on all the time, and I like to bring this stuff up in the show and talk about it. And when we talk about youth sports, you've got athletes who play sports for fun, play sports to get better, to learn things, to win, to learn about losing. And joining me in studio this morning is a young lady named Jocelyn C. She is a high school graduate from what, about a week ago?
Yeah.
So you competed as a gymnast for how many years?
Over my whole life, it was about 11. But I was in competitive gymnastics from 7 to about 15.
And that was in the state of Iowa?
Yes, I was in Iowa. I competed from about 7 to probably 12 or 13.
And then you moved to Indiana?
Yes.
Okay. Why'd you get started in gymnastics? Were you watching the Olympics and get all excited like a lot of young girls do?
I think my mom put me in gymnastics just because I was just a wild child. And then she put me in when I was 3. And then I just didn't really like it. So I quit when I was about 5. Then when I was 7 again, I started to really enjoy it again. So then they put me back in it.
You are wild, uncontrollable at home. Is that the deal? High energy?
Yes.
Okay. So when you started with it at the second time, age 7, what'd you like about it?
I think this time, because I was very bored when I did it when I was younger. So I think the second time around, I was older, so I was able to really just kind of enjoy it more. And it was more competitive than it was when I was younger.
Did pressure start to come in when you were that young? Do you remember that? Was there pressure to have to do well, or was it more just about having fun and enjoying the experience?
I do think there was a little bit of pressure, but I think most of the pressure was on myself. Like, I put it on myself. I don't think the coaches or my parents did any of that. I think it was more just me wanting to be the best.
Okay, so you stayed in it for a while. You progressed, got better. So what do you remember what level you started at?
So I did something called XL, and so that's about level, I was on bronze, and so that's about level 3 to 5.
Excuse me, explain so everybody's listening understands the levels in gymnastics.
Okay, so there's two different types. There's JO and then there's XL. JO is more like your college level, like your basic levels that you, like everyone thinks of. XL is more like you have bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond. And that is all just like the levels in between that are like 3 different levels.
Okay, so you started progressing and started getting better.
Yes.
What did you like about it?
I think I liked that, like, I was very daring. And so I think I liked that I could do, like, everything without hesitation. I could just do whatever and not really be scared.
Did you ever get hurt? I mean, there isn't a gymnast I've ever worked with who hasn't been hurt.
Yeah, I did get hurt. But not like most. I only broke my toe. That was, like, the worst.
Only broke
happened.
Your toe?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't pull a hamstring or tear a ligament or anything like that?
No. I mean, I rolled my ankle quite a few times, but that's not, like, I was up and at it, like, the next, like, 2 days later.
I mean, I've always said it, if you're a gymnast, your body gets in positions it's not supposed to be in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you've got to be extremely flexible. You've got to work on that. So you started moving up the levels and started getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What'd you like about it the most?
I just think I pushed myself very hard. And so I think that is what I really enjoyed, is that I could just, like, I was competitive with myself.
What frustrations did you have when you were younger with it? Because gymnastics, you've got to spend hours. I mean, you're in the gym practicing, what, about 4 to 5 hours a day?
Yeah, I practiced, I think, 4 days a week for 4 hours. So I think my frustrations came when I couldn't get a skill. Like, when I would practice and practice and it just wouldn't come, I think that's when I would get most frustrated.
Well, of the 4 events, what was the most difficult for you?
Bars was definitely my least favorite.
Why?
I wasn't very good at it, and it was definitely a struggle on the later years. Like, the earlier years, it was pretty easy for me, but then later on, I just wasn't something I wanted to work on the most, so I didn't work on it that much, and then when it came to competitions, that's when I was, like, not very good at it, and I would get frustrated with myself.
So you started it was initially when you were younger, and then you quit, and then you got back into it because it was more fun, and then you enjoyed it. And then at some point, though, you decided you'd had enough. When was that?
That was when I moved to Indiana. It was switching gyms was a drastic change. It was very the coaches were definitely different. I couldn't really just at my old gym. They kind of just let me do whatever. Like they were like they let me train how I wanted. And here it was definitely more structured, but not. And I was okay with that, but it was more like the coaches were a lot more intense, and they were more serious. Like they didn't. Fun wasn't really an option for you.
Well, when we come back from our commercial break, we're going to talk about coaching and the difference in coaching styles and how that affected you, and also why you decided to quit. Because I think one of the things that's important, I think, in youth sports is like our first caller, Tom, the baseball coach, should be about having fun, right?
Yeah, of course.
Now, of course, when you're doing a sport like gymnastics, you're learning skills, you're trying to get points in competitions and move up levels and things like that. But the fun part still needs to be there.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I want to get into that when we come back, like I said, from our break about the coaching. But the main reason you stayed with it was what, Jocelyn? Because I've worked with so many young ladies over the years who just got frustrated with it. It was hard to, you know, as you started to grow, as your body developed to become a teenager. You know, when you're a little girl, you can roll around, do all kinds of things. Become a teenager, you become a young woman, your body's changing, you're growing. It becomes more difficult.
Yeah. I think that it, for me, what kept me going was definitely the idea of still being able to compete. I think that was definitely, I'm a very competitive person, so I think being able to compete was my big, like, that was my big pusher. Like, that's what kept me still going. But I was also very hard on myself, and the coaches were hard on me. And so I think when I wouldn't do good in a competition, I really drug myself down about that.
Okay. How did the coaches react to you when you pulled yourself down? Because it's very obvious with a young person when their confidence starts to go, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But did the coaches be supportive? Did they get condescending and rude? I mean, what, you tell us what happened.
I think when, to me, it was almost like they agreed with me. Like, I still remember some of the things I would say to myself. The coaches, they would easily just be like, yeah. Like, they would just, they definitely wouldn't try to build me up. They just would just kind of leave me where I am and just almost break me down more just because they agreed with me. And I definitely, some of the things the coaches had said definitely stuck with me through that. So,
like what? You could probably remember some of that now, can't you?
Yeah, there was definitely, I was in Diamond, which is like the highest level on the Excel side. And my coach told me that I should be at least three levels below where I am from this one competition. And so that was definitely hard because I was like, wow, okay.
So how'd you react to that?
I definitely just was like, I didn't really say anything because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it in the moment. But I didn't talk to her the rest of the competition. Like, I didn't look at her. It was definitely just one of those silent treatment things.
Then what happened?
Then our relationship really just kind of started to separate. Like, I didn't want her to be my coach. I always went to all the other coaches for during practice.
Okay, we're going to come back from our break, and we're going to talk about coaching. We're going to talk about communication, because I think that has a lot to do maybe with why you quit. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My guest this morning is Jocelyn C. She's a former gymnast, a state champion gymnast. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour, former flagship station Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm here every week talking about the mental side of sports. We've had a great show today. I started the show off with an interview with Tom, a baseball coach, about some of the issues he's been having coaching young men in baseball. And now we have a very attractive young lady named Jocelyn C. sitting in the studio with me talking about her gymnastics career. And she's a state champion in both Indiana and Iowa. And she competed until age 15, is that right?
Yes.
Age 15. And Why'd you quit?
Definitely a burnout situation. The coaches and just the competition was just definitely, it was different when I moved to Indiana, and it was more intense.
When you say more intense, what do you mean?
Everyone took it a lot more seriously. Like, I'm definitely a competitive person, but mostly just in the new gym I was at, everyone took it like it was a life or death situation. Like,
really?
Yeah, like you were at Olympic level or you were nothing, basically. That's how it was. Definitely a, they tried to make it as intense as
so. Why'd you go to that gym? Why don't you go to another gym?
It was the only gym in small town Plymouth, Indiana.
Oh, okay. So, when you changed, and when did you start to realize this isn't fun anymore?
I think it was my eighth grade to freshman year. I think that summer is when I took a break that summer, and then I decided to come back. Because I thought maybe it was just me. Maybe I was just, like, just too overwhelmed with the move and with school and everything. So I just decided to take a break. And then when I came back, it was the same thing. And I was just like, this is definitely not for me anymore. But I stuck it out till I think it was another year. Another year, year and a half.
And what was that like to do that, be in a sport you weren't enjoying? Around people you weren't necessarily enjoying being around.
It definitely was a big...
downer?
Yeah, it was definitely a big downer and just a big mental block, really, too, because I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to, like... I had lost respect for coaches at that point, like, for just those coaches in the gym, not necessarily in general.
Well, okay, why? What was it about those coaches? Because here's the thing, Jocelyn, I think with a lot of young people... You know, and I've talked about this for a long time on this show. We start playing organized sports now at younger and younger ages. I've said many times on this show, at some point we're going to hear about a competitive league for pregnant women because we're getting younger and younger kids playing sports at younger and younger ages. And the fun goes out of it because you've done it for so long, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Roger Federer and Alex Morgan have both been quoted that they didn't specialize in tennis and soccer until they were 14 or 15. They played a bunch of different sports. And then they started to specialize in that, and they thought it was fun. Bo Jackson just put a tweet out the other day, everybody should play all sports till they get to, you know, mid-teens. So were you doing anything else, or was it just gymnastics?
It was just gymnastics. I did soccer until I was about 7, and then once gymnastics became kind of my, when it became really a lot because I was going to the gym about 4 times a week, then that's when I quit soccer and just did gymnastics.
Okay, so looking back on that, before we get into the coaches, do you think the fact that you started to specialize in something, you just got to the point you just got tired of it?
I think that could be a little bit of it. I think that it was very, I think it was just a long process throughout my time doing gymnastics, so I think, yeah, that could be some of it.
But then switching gyms, your family moved from Iowa to Indiana, and then going into a new gym. Did you ever talk to the coaches about how you felt they were talking to you or treating you? Or were you too scared to do that?
I would say I was too scared to do that. But I also did, I did try to talk to the coaches a little bit about how, and not necessarily about their coaching, but how more so I would like them to coach me. Because that's
for a young lady, that's very smart to do.
Yeah, because every athlete's a little bit different in their ways of being coached. And so the way they were coaching me just didn't feel right to me. So I wanted them to try to coach me how I needed to be coached.
So, okay, so how'd you do that? What'd you say to them?
I kind of just explained to them how at my old gym, how they would just kind of let me do what kind of I needed to do, not necessarily to where I just did whatever I wanted, but to where I could still just do things that, like, maybe not other gymnasts were doing at the gym because they didn't want to try those skills necessarily. And so I just asked them to maybe just kind of let me off the reins a little bit and do more so just let me kind of throw skills that they weren't necessarily comfortable with.
So did they allow you to do that or not?
No.
Yeah, I could see just when you asked that question, the way you reacted there. Yeah, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And so that's where your passion started to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, and you are how old?
18.
18 years old. Yeah. So it's been how many years since you competed? Three?
Three, yeah.
Okay. Do you miss it?
I do miss it. I would say if I had to go back to the, I would go back to the gym in Iowa more. That's what I miss is the, in Iowa, what I was doing.
Okay. So for parents who are listening, getting their kids involved in youth sports, as someone who has survived youth sports and been through it, what would you suggest to them as far as encouragement to keep their kids in it and have the fun part continue? Because, I mean, if you're going to go into gymnastics and you want to be good, it's a lot of work and it is always fun. I mean, you've got to really push yourself.
Yeah.
But at some point when the fun goes away and the relation with the coaches goes down, then you quit. And that's what happens. So what would you suggest to parents as a young lady who's just gone through all this? And to young athletes also.
Yeah, I would definitely say parents, listen to your kids. I mean, my parents did great at that, but definitely listen to them so they have, and then watch what's happening in the gym and with their mentality and with the coaches. Just kind of observe how they're acting in the gym compared to how they were acting before they started telling you what's going on. And maybe even, I wouldn't say pull them out for a while, but have them cut back on the amount of time they're at the gym, because that could also be where their burnout situation is.
Yeah, but a lot. But okay, but let me challenge you on that, because if I'm a coach, no, you can't leave. You got to stay here and work harder.
Well, I would, yes, but also coaches, I would say, need to be aware of their athletes' mental state.
Okay, I've said it. I said earlier, a good coach is a good psychologist. A bad coach is a sports psychologist. So a good coach is going to take the time to listen to their athletes.
Yes.
And communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Where does fear come into that, Jocelyn? Because I know athletes are not always comfortable talking to their coaches. They're scared about what the coach is going to think, about their confidence, about their relationship. So how do you overcome that?
I would say a big step to overcome when being scared to talk to coaches is definitely not being afraid of what they're going to say, because that is a scary thing, because you've put basically not your whole life in their hands, but you've put a chunk of your life into their hands just to be as good as you are as an athlete. And so I would say don't be afraid to talk to them, and don't be afraid of what their answer is going to be, because if you are afraid, you're not going to get the answer you want.
Tell me your definition of self-confidence.
I would say my definition of self-confidence is someone who is strong in how they, like, they have a, I don't know this question.
Well, I ask hard questions.
Yeah, I've never thought about that. I don't know. Self-confidence. I would say someone with strong self-confidence is someone who knows, who's going in with something and knows exactly what they want.
Well, spending these two segments talking to you, I can see that you're a young lady who has a tremendous amount of self-confidence. And I want to congratulate you on the fact that you, not because you won two state titles, but because I think you see within yourself what you learned about gymnastics, and it's probably going to help you in life in everything you do, and one day if you choose to have your own kids, and understanding that. I want to thank you for coming on the show today, sharing your story, and I think there are a lot of people that are going to learn from this. Jocelyn, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is a great show today. We had two great segments with Tom, the baseball coach, and Jocelyn, the gymnast. Hope you're listening. And encourage people to listen to the podcast. They're on our Sports Radio 810 WHB site. They're also my website, winnersunlimited.com, and podcast it everywhere on all the different apps. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. If you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me several ways. My website is winnersunlimited.com. You can send me an email at drj@winnersunlimited.com. Follow me on Twitter at drjsportspsych. And give me a call at my office at 816-561-5556. Have a great week. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB.